Hey, friends, and welcome to episode 223 of It's About Time, a podcast about work, life, and balance. I'm your host, time management coach, Anna Dearman-Cornick. And if you've ever felt just blah, blah, blurg, like a case of the Mondays 7 days a week, every day feels like the last, Groundhog Day style. If that sounds familiar, whether you felt it before or you're living it now, I've got just the thing for you. Recently, I was chatting with my friend Andrea about what causes us to get into that place of blah, and she suggested that it's a result of something being missing. A spark of passion, a spark of excitement, a spark of meaning. Fortunately, if you're not feeling particularly sparkly today, Andrea joined me for a conversation about what it can look like to reignite your spark, manage your time, find your version of balance, and create structure in your life that's filled with purpose and meaning. And it's not as hard as you might think. So let me introduce you to Andrea Olson. Andrea Olson is a highly influential HR leadership expert, a seven-figure entrepreneur with a brand featured in Forbes magazine. She's a thought leader and revered podcaster and globally recognized life and business coach for successful female entrepreneurs. She uses a dynamic approach, harnessing the intersection of professional achievement and personal fulfillment to help her clients find true clarity, alignment, and accelerated results. Andrea brings a wealth of knowledge enhanced by over nearly a decade in human resources, where she coached executives and leaders on their journey to excellence, alongside building her multi-seven-figure business and cultivating ultra-elite teams within it. She's extended her passion and skills to generate breakthroughs with her one-on-one coaching clients. Over the course of her career, she's trained tens of thousands of business owners and directly coached thousands on leadership, communication through persuasion and influence, healthy rhythms of business, prioritization, mindset, and reframing success to help them tap into more of what matters to them. Her philosophy on life alignment has led to the creation and development of her podcast, More of What Matters, and expansion of Andrea Olson Coaching. Her insights have been widely sought after and have become synonymous with the results of her team and clients, as well as derived from the More of What Matters philosophy and framework. Andrea has been featured as a speaker at multiple international sales conferences, speaking and hosting live session workshops, most notably for top leader groups of thousands regarding healthy rhythms in business as a leader and innovative, gracious leadership. While loving her work passions, her most treasured priority is her family. She has a son, Samuel, and a daughter, Grace, who both light up her world and has been madly in love with her husband, Robert, for nearly a decade. As a family, they love spending quality time together, staying active, playing sports, going on adventures, and making memories that become new stories and inside jokes for years to come. She has a personal affinity for Pilates and pickleball, most often with her girlfriends. In today's conversation with Andrea, she shares her unique approach to balancing business and her personal life with meaning. She talks about why cultivating relationships are the cornerstone of her time management. Andrea also shares practical ways that we can reconnect with what matters most to us. And you'll walk away knowing why you should make three good things a part of your daily routine. As usual, you can find all the details for this episode over in the show notes at abouttimepodcast.com/223. And with that, it's about time we get started. So let's get this show on the road.
You're listening to It's About Time, a podcast about work, life, and balance. Around here, we believe that busy is not a badge of honor. Your host, Anna Dearman-Cornick, is here to share tips and strategies to help you make the most of your time. Listen in on real conversations and success stories to find out how other go-getters are getting things done. If you're ready to step away from the overwhelm and spend your time on what matters most, then you're in the right place. Here's your host, time management coach, Anna Dearman-Cornick.
Hey, Andrea, and welcome to It's About Time. I'm so excited to chat with you today. How are you?
I am so honored to be here, Anna. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you for giving some of your time to the show today. I really can't wait to dive into our conversation. Before we press record, I gave the official Andrea Olson bio in my intro, but I want to hear from you in your own words. How do you spend your time these days?
I love that question. I spend my time a lot of different ways, which I think is probably how most of the people who listen to this show feel as well. I am first and foremost a wife and a mom of two kiddos, Samuel, who's 7, and Grace, who's 5. And our life is very much centered around our family. I've always, ever since becoming an entrepreneur with young kids, that evolution really created in me this whole focus around why am I doing this ultimately in the first place? And so, yes, I am an entrepreneur. I've been in entrepreneurship for 11 years. So that was before kids, which is an interesting transition in and of itself. And prior to that was a human resource leader in a Fortune 500 company. So that was my backstory before falling in love with entrepreneurship. And now I also do life and business coaching for female entrepreneurs and wives and moms who just really want to show up in a meaningful way in their life and expand and yet want to do it with meaning attached. And I also have a podcast called More of What Matters. So those are my big buckets. But when I think outside of work, and of course, family first and then work, relationships overall are kind of my key guiding principle in terms of how much time things get. Because if I'm looking at the relationships that I want to expand and develop and grow, those could be at church, they could be at my kids' school, they could be in the community. And that's kind of how I decide what's going to get my time in that season is what relationships do I want to grow? Where do I want to give back more of my time and energy? And that's how I move from there.
Wow. Andrea, I absolutely love that because I don't think I've ever heard in any of my conversations with all types of guests, I don't think I've ever heard anyone share that relationships is a driving force in how they spend and structure their time. In my HEART method of time management, the R in HEART stands for recharge, which includes rest, recreation, and relationships. Because without those relationships, we can't cultivate our creativity and innovation. And so it is so cool, really, to hear that relationships are a guiding principle for you. Has it always been like that for you?
You know, as long as I can remember, yes. And I think why has been that I have found that when I am clicking on all cylinders with good quality, very complementary relationships, meaning like they're also giving as much as you are in terms of that relationship. Again, these are not all just like close friendships. These are all sorts of ways of staying connected. When that is working, I feel so much more lit up and productive in a lot of other ways. And so what started to happen was I had this realization early on, probably in college, and then it kind of connected dots for me in advance of like, well, if that's true, then I have to carve out time, meaningful time, and make time for that instead of going, I don't have time for that. That has to go to the wayside. If everyone understood, that would help them the most is that it's actually really hard to put people in boxes in our time, but activities and things and the things that we want to accomplish, we can usually actually find really creative ways to fit those things in. People, on the other hand, not so easily. And so I think that's actually a frustration that a lot of times we have and we don't realize why. It's because we're trying to cram a relationship into a to-do box that isn't going to ever fit. And so for me, that's like been an aha that I now coach and help others understand. And the way that that impacts them is it's truly transformative, I think.
Oh, that makes so much sense. Because if I think about some of my friendships, I have one friend and we aim to have a monthly lunch together. Having that on a recurring pattern, it helps us have our touch point in the month to stay in touch. Because when you just you're right. Think about like a relationship on a to-do list. Like that's not necessarily actionable, but an event is. Like I'm going to go to a Pilates class with Kristen, or I'm going to do a business planning session with Logan. It's almost like anchoring an activity to the friendship or the relationship is what causes the connection to happen.
For sure.
Does that sound right?
Yeah. And what I want to add to that is just that same premise is true for you with yourself. And that's something that a lot of times we can very quickly miss in that because you'll talk to an introvert who will say, and I'm kind of a blend, but you'll talk to a classic introvert that will say, I need much more time recharging myself. And I would say that is a relationship that you are choosing to invest that way because you know what your energy needs. And that's so important, but that is just as important for anyone to assess, not just a classic introvert, is like, what are the things that I need to really prioritize that are self-driven? And yes, I could do them at a variety of times, maybe. Sometimes I can't. I have to do them at a certain time of day or whatever. But they are just as critical to prioritize in that relationship category. Relationship to self is a large reason that most people operate from a frantic place. They're not allowing enough time for that in their day. And then they wonder why they're not getting that kind of the response they want from outside source. Well, you're likely not going to, because some of those things are truly only things you can lead yourself through.
Mm-hmm. So tell me this, Andrea, if you've got your business, you're an entrepreneur, and you are a coach, and you're spending time in your relationships, can you get a little specific for me? Like, what kind of activities do you pair up as you're cultivating relationships?
For sure. I mean, it's looked different ways in different seasons. So if I was talking to you a couple of years ago, this answer might be a little bit different than it is today. A lot of what I'm doing is centered around the time that my kids are in school and any other activities where they're a part of. I'm trying to coordinate those with the ability to be close with friends and being around communities of people that I also want my kids around. The times that I'm spending kind of individual, I'm really looking at it as certain days of the week for certain activities. Because at this point, I have a Monday through Thursday primary schedule. Fridays are short for my kids' school. And so I really have to look at my work week as 4 days a lot of times, which is so challenging. But it can be rewarding if I have a plan. And so I'm very much about that. And then knowing what days of the week, I just will not put certain things on the calendar. That's actually been the more freeing part, is to be able to organize with what won't hit my calendar during certain hours of the day versus what will. Because, you know, the part of me that's a mom has to be pretty flexible sometimes, you know, things that just pop up that I'm like, okay, I wouldn't have planned that school party on that day, but that's the day it is. So I need to be flexible there. You know, what gets my time in certain days is just largely determined by based on what I'm prioritizing in that season. So right now it's the business, it's my coaching and the podcast and everything else, like during those hours of the day, unless it's pressing, it's just not going to get 8 to 3 ever.
Yeah. Okay. So Andrea, I'm hearing business. I'm hearing coaching. I'm hearing podcast. Plus you're a mom. Plus you're a wife. Plus you're involved in different aspects of your community and your kids' lives, and you're cultivating relationships with others. You've given us some really great insight into how you aim to fit your work into 4 days, how you prioritize certain activities during a certain time. But how exactly, like, what does that look like for you on a day-to-day basis to manage all of these different pieces of your life?
For sure. So early on in entrepreneurship, even before kids, I started implementing Sunday check-ins. And Sunday check-ins are truly a time where I look ahead at my week. And before having a family, it was my work week matched with social calendar, matched with my side business at the time. And so I just decided what was going to get my energy that week. And even as simple as, like, if I have a really big day Wednesday, I can't put a ton in the evening on Tuesday. Like, that kind of stuff really does show up. And I would say now more than ever with having family and kids and them being plugged into activities, I need that. So Sunday check-in is really short. It does not take much time. Ideally, it'd be sitting down with my husband and looking at our calendar. I will not tell you that that always happens perfectly because it's life and there's a lot going on. But I definitely am going to clue him in if there's going to be a day coming up where I'm like, I'm going to need extra support on this day. Are there any days like that on your schedule? Because, you know, it's one thing to tell somebody what's on yours, but on the receiving end, you may need to be expecting more from them too. Like, on certain days, you might need to be picking up some of that slack. So that's, for me, an essential piece of the week. Then come Monday or whatever weekday, my weekday starts, if kids have school off Mondays, for instance, it's Tuesday, is what I call a CEO start. And that is really the first 20 to 30 minutes plugged in on my calendar to start my workday once the kids are where they need to be. And I am sitting down at my laptop being able to plug in. In that CEO start are the things that are going to take bandwidth from my day in my mind if I don't just, you know, crank them out right away. And for me, that also means if they're going to be a longer than that window time, I need to actually physically put time on my calendar with a meeting request for myself to do it. Because what you learn very quickly, and you know this as a solo entrepreneur, is that you can't expect somebody else is going to do what only you can do. So the longer you put that off, the more wasted energy thinking about that thing that you just needed to do. And so that's a big piece of my day. And then my day usually ends pretty early on because I'm going physically to go pick up my kids from school. And so I use the transition of that car ride, which is about 20 minutes in the car, to do some final wrap up with coaching clients on Voxer, closing the loop on anything that's outstanding. Sometimes from Carline, I'm sending some final emails. And that's my transition into what I call mom mode from 3 to 8. And that is what is getting my time and energy from that period on. And then at 8 o'clock, if there's any last minute follow-up emails or messages that came through that I need to just close the loop on, I will. And if I don't, then I won't. Because reopening, you know, at that time of day is not ideal. But because I'm so boundaried around that 3 to 8, I give myself permission to say, hey, if this is going to allow me to disconnect more and go to sleep without that hanging over me, I will take the 10 minutes to do it. And my family knows, and that's a very healthy thing for us, because when you talk about it with people and you say, hey, this is why, I think it makes so much sense for people around you. And that's something I've learned from, you know, over a decade now of being an entrepreneur. But it is something that has helped us manage that kind of 4-day work week as well.
Wow. So you have your business, you have your coaching practice, and you're a mom, and you are essentially fitting all of your work into not just a 4-day work week, but a shortened 4-day work week.
Yeah, shorter. I mean, probably shorter, definitely shorter than the average 9 to 5 is. And I don't really think of it as a comparison. And here's why. There are weeks where I am masterful at getting a whole bunch done. And then there are some weeks where I notice that I just don't have it in me to do the same amount of workload. But I actually have found, by not judging that and actually allowing myself to get more creative in my mind about where I want the next week to take me, I can come up with the best ideas on that week where I don't feel highly productive. So there is something to a rhythm in your business of noticing, hey, sometimes we are in to-do mode and we can just crank things out really quick. And it feels fun to be in that space. I think a lot of times we want to stay in there all the time. But hyper-productivity is not necessary unless you have really great ideas coming in, because you don't have stuff to produce if you don't have great ideas. So what I'm noticing, especially now in this season, is like, say about a week, a month, where the pace just feels different. It could be because the kids are off school. It could be because there's just a change in our routine as a family, whatever that looks like. But I kind of lean heavily then into ideation during that. And it really gives me this purposeful permission to treat it differently and allow myself to feel good about it. Because what you feel good about with your time ends up multiplying. So if you're not judging, oh, I'm not able to get to all the things, then you actually create space for your mind to allow some really great stuff in. And picking up another self-development book, or spending more time listening to research on a topic that you're really passionate about, doing more journaling, writing, doing more creative things, that feels good. And then it makes the other weeks more productive.
Okay, y'all. So I know we could all probably use a little more time in our day, right? You're no stranger to busy schedules and intentionally filling them up to the brim because you just have so much to get done. But sometimes it feels like you don't really ever have the time to just slow down and enjoy the simple things. Simple things like when my toddlers are giggling and playing nicely together in the backyard, or when a Sunday afternoon nap sounds too good to pass up. We all want more time to enjoy these kinds of things, right? Well, if you love personality quizzes like I do, then you're in for a treat. In my new quiz, which you can take for free at annadcornick.com/quiz, I'm helping you uncover what it will take to get you from chaos to calm, to finally feel like you have space in your days. I know it can feel downright frustrating to keep using the same old time management strategies that just don't seem to work for you. You've got the planners, the calendars, the apps, you're doing all the things, but you still feel like you have no time. And that's because you need time management strategies that work for your personality and your life. In my 10 plus years working in crisis communications and chaos management, and all the time I've spent with my clients, I've learned that everyone has their own needs. And knowing what those needs are can really help you discover the best approach to planning your days. Knowing yourself can help you ease up busy schedules and find more calm and clarity in your week. Do you want to know how to get there? To have more breathing room in your days? Let's figure out your time management personality type so you can uncover exactly what you need to do to feel more productive, less stressed, and more balanced. You can take the quiz at annadcornick.com/quiz, and I'll make sure to link to the quiz in our show notes. All right, on with the show. You know, I think there's this misconception or this idea that if we're not doing something, then we're not working. And we can't be truly successful in our businesses or our lives, in our careers, unless we have visionary time, unless we have time for reflection and dreaming and ideas. You know, have you always... You know, you said that this is something that you've recognized and you've found that sometimes it just feels right to have a week of this. Was it always easy for you to lean into that week? What was that like, kind of having that realization and giving yourself that space?
Well, I've told this story to a few people before, but what really did it for me was having our second child. So our first is Samuel. He is 7. And I felt like I could still operate in some ways pretty similarly to how I had been. I don't know if that's just because I am a highly efficient person and I found ways, and I have incredible support. I have a very supportive husband. I did have some help with things, and it just allowed for me to keep going at a similar clip. Maybe not exact, but when our daughter Grace was born, who's now 5, I think it was just the adjustment to 2, having a toddler and then having a newborn who was very dependent on me at the time, right? Because I'm nursing. And I had this shift, and I think it was probably building while I was pregnant with her, but it was this shift when she was born that was like, you have to get so clear on what matters to you now. Otherwise, nothing will matter. And that was kind of what hit me. And it was actually while I was nursing one night, super late, I just had this like clear message, like, you need to know more of what matters to you now, more than ever. And that was like, I don't know, I think it had been just simmering below the surface. But the reason I bring that up is because it doesn't always hit you at the times that you think it will in terms of what's going to get your time. Sometimes it's this big event. Sometimes it's this middle of the night, like, oh my gosh, am I just tired? Is that why I'm feeling this? But it wasn't that. And actually, the more I kind of peeled back the layers to that, I think it was because I had been putting a lot of my identity into achievement. And that's really normal. But then as soon as I realized that that identity of achievement wasn't going to necessarily make me feel like a better mom, I had to really figure out what is the intersection between ambition and contentment for me. And what was going to get my time kind of had to be untangled there first. And I'm obviously an ambitious person. This is not coming from a place of like you should water down any ambition. But figuring out what does that look like? And definitely at different seasons, it may look different. And also making sure that it still allows for what is your true priority to live in a meaningful way. Because otherwise, you'll always just resent whatever it is you're putting ahead of it. And others will too. So I think it was a progression, but it definitely happened after my daughter was born.
I love the phrase that you just used, to live in a meaningful way. I talk with so many women who just feel like they are stuck on a hamster wheel where every day feels like the same. They're just kind of going through the motions. All they have really to look forward to is the next thing that they're going to buy off of an influencer on Instagram. That's a direct quote that I've had a friend share with me. It's just, we have so much on our to-do list and so many things that have to be done on a day-to-day basis that it can just feel like that's all there is sometimes. But I think that we can begin to get this inkling that there's something more. Like, surely there's more than this. Surely there's a deeper meaning. And so if someone is feeling that hint or that, you know, there has to be more than just this hamster wheel of going through the motions, how can that person start to take steps toward a life that's lived with meaning?
What a great question. I think actually the story I just shared is a very clear illustration of how important it is to quiet the noise, because I don't for a second think that clarity came in the middle of the night, sleep deprived as I was, because I was inundating myself with noise. I think it was because I was cutting out the noise in that moment that I heard that. And so what I would tell anyone, and what I do tell my clients who are struggling with overwhelm and feeling like they're on this loop that they just can't quite step off of, is one of the first things to do is to actually inventory what is getting your good attention and what you are really enjoying about your life. Because it's really easy to be critical about the things that we feel like are just mundane. But there can be significance in the mundane if you are looking for the good pieces of it. A lot of times we start to grow to resent like the routines that we have and just like, oh, it's just like the same day over and over. It's Groundhog's Day. But sometimes we actually really desire it for it to be that. And it's really easy to not want it when we have it. But then the second something goes crazy, we're like craving that routine again. And it's so funny. But if you can start paying attention to the things that are happening in your day-to-day life that you're really, really grateful for, I call them three good things. So I do it in the morning and at night. What are three good things to start my day? Three good things to end my day. They could be things that happened that day. It could be a quick conversation I had. It could be that somebody complimented my earrings. I mean, it could be anything, right? But it does leave you with this sense of everything in my life does have meaning already. I don't need to go looking for meaning outside of myself, but it also can bring up some things that maybe aren't working because you think about things, you're like, I'd really like to list, you know, my work right now, but I'm very frustrated by my work. So let's talk, like, let's think about what am I frustrated by in my work? What is good about it and what is maybe not working? So it can bring things up that are productive for you to sort through. But it brings them up, I think, in a way that you can sort through them. And you can also, at the same time, not just look at everything as blah. And you can say, there's really good happening in this routine of my life that even though it feels like the same day over and over again, it's not quite, because there are differences in each day if I'm looking for them.
So, Andrea, when it comes to finding meaning in our work, is it possible to feel very passionate about your work and, let's say, the meaning in your work, and then suddenly you just, whether it's suddenly or gradually, you just don't feel that way anymore? Whether it happened over time or there was an event or something that changed for you, you know, what do we do when we feel like the meaning and the purpose in our work is no longer there?
Oh, I'm glad you asked that. I think it's actually something a lot of people struggle with. And I primarily work with women, but I know it's not reserved for only women feeling this way. What I can tell you from my own experience and the experiences of working with people is that it's more common than not. So it's actually good to know so that you don't feel like I'm doing something wrong. I need to immediately leave my job. I need to figure out my whole life. It's actually good to say, you know what, I can be kind about this because I would be kind if someone else said this to me too. Like, notice how you're talking to yourself about it, but then also recognize that work has a purpose. It actually already has a purpose, whether you feel purpose in it, it serves a purpose, right? And you serve a purpose by doing the work. I mean, obviously they're paying you for it, so you're doing a job essentially. Now, do we always want to feel like we're just doing a job? No, that doesn't feel good. We always want to find that deeper meaning. But sometimes I will say the deeper meaning can be found in knowing that you're doing the work to contribute to something that is meaningful. So sometimes you have to flip the script a little bit and say, okay, my contribution to the world is also more than the work that I do in a workplace environment. But the workplace environment that I'm a part of that is, you know, paying me to be there certainly is an essential piece for me to be able to contribute in these other ways. It does serve a purpose. And getting lit up every single day about the work that somebody is paying you to do is maybe a little bit unreasonable. I'll just say that because I was in HR and I heard a lot of that and I also felt it too. I get it. But if we're searching for something that's not reasonable, we're always going to feel frustrated by that. So instead, I would say, how are you purposely choosing to grow? Are you doing things actively for your own personal development and growth? Maybe there's an area of your life that you haven't leaned into for a long time, and it would serve you to actually give yourself a little bit of that space back. Maybe it's faith. Maybe it's, you know, exercise and health and wellness. Maybe it's relationships like we talked about. So I would say if you're feeling that way, take an evaluation of those things and then ask, is it that I'm only wanting my work to serve a purpose, or I want to feel like there's a meaningful contribution in my life? That's a difference, and you can do it without putting the pressure on it has to be a certain job.
Oh, I love that. So it's permission to explore and be curious and ask yourself, am I having a bad day? Or is this a bad fit? Or is it just a bad day?
And never quit on a bad day. I mean, ever. And even a bad season, because I actually think seasons, like part of a season is they change. So if you are evaluating things as a collective season, it'd be really wise to look at it as a whole and kind of get through a period where you're like, this has been an ongoing feeling for quite some time, but I'm also going to just kind of notice for a while what is causing that. And that's when I say journal, because you do want to reflect on what is behind that. Is it me that's changing, or is it the place and the workplace and the environment and the job itself? Because it can actually be both. And maybe that's partly the bigger issue, is that there is growth happening in you and that you've kind of outgrown that. Or it could be that there have been significant changes where you are and maybe it is not the right fit anymore. But I definitely am a proponent of don't ever stop, like quit on a bad day. That will not solve what you're really trying to do.
And you know, one interesting angle here is that if you're a business owner, if you own your own business and suddenly you find that you don't quite feel the same way about the business that you started and the business that you have, you can't exactly give your 2 weeks notice to the boss when you are the boss. So should we approach this differently if we own our own business?
Here's my advice to that person, because I've been her, and it is to expand. It is to be curious about expansion. That does not mean abandonment, okay? So it does not mean you run away from what you have going on, because that is not usually going to solve any of your problems. That will create new problems. And a lot of times we'll wish for our old problems back by doing that. I've seen that so much. But what I can tell you really does help is when you start to give yourself a little openness to be curious. Hey, what would it feel like if I took an hour out of my week to do pure personal development, and I took that course and I did that thing, and I practiced using that muscle again around discovery? Because it could truly be that you just have been in such heavy work mode for so long that you started to resent it. I mean, and I see that really commonly with highly successful female entrepreneurs. they've lost a sense of that spark and they think it's their business that's done it. They've done it to themselves. And I'm like, you know what? That spark is not very far under the surface, but you just haven't done anything to ignite it lately. So going back to some of the things that created that spark in the first place is a really great starting point. And it looks different for everybody, but I would say start there before you abandon a great idea and things you've been working so hard to build and all those things.
So when you're not feeling the spark, it doesn't mean it's time to burn it all down.
I would say that in a marriage too. I mean, I think friendships, I mean, there's so many things in life that prove that that's true. But if you look at the way the seasons change, you know, there might be a dormant winter and then comes spring and you'd never in a million years think greenery was going to be next. But one day, all of those seeds that you did plant over that season start to flourish. And I think this is a common problem, especially when you operate on a like an individual basis as an entrepreneur, is you don't usually have a great way of kind of gaining perspective outside of yourself. And you might actually feel very competitive with other people, so you don't really share a lot. That's a season that I have been in before, and I'm grateful to not be in anymore. And I feel like that kind of opens you up to a ton of wisdom that you stand to gain from others. But I would say put yourself in places where you can actually nurture relationships so that you can gain perspective. Because without it, it can be a really lonely road, whether you're in solo entrepreneurship or in a corporate position with a lot of responsibility, no matter where you are. Or if you're a stay-at-home mom whose primary role is to take care of everything in her home, and if you don't have a community, you are going to feel so isolated. So it actually works across the board. But finding that thing, if you look back and say, what was something that lit me up, you know, back when I felt that spark, go back and examine that. Maybe it's not that exact same thing anymore, but it's the whole notion of that is there still. You still are a version of her.
Right.
And how can you explore that again?
Yeah. I think that really speaks to the power of community in group coaching, in masterminds, in membership programs that enable you to connect with others who are working toward the same kinds of goals that you are, who are in a similar season of life, who can be a sounding board and share that perspective or share a different perspective with you. Because no man or woman is an island. We need a village in our families, with our businesses, in our careers, and we're so much better off if we do things in community. So, Andrea, I'd love to know if there is one simple thing, one action item that we can take in the next week to connect with or reconnect with what matters most to us. What's one simple thing that we could do?
I think I would recommend two things that are aligned. I would quiet the noise. I would free yourself from as much distraction as you can. And I would write those three good things. Mm-hmm. And I would start that as a habit, because what often happens is we do something once and we feel kind of neutral about it. Like, that was neither bad nor good, but it doesn't solve anything. It's like, well, no way. Nothing's going to be solved when you do something once. So quiet the noise long enough to do it and then repeat. And start to notice that if you did that twice a day for 6 weeks, that's, I think it's like 126 good things that you've written. That is powerful. Mm-hmm. And so instead of thinking I need to do everything at once to change my life or to turn some thoughts around or whatever, just start doing a little bit every day and commit to it and watch your life change.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Thank you so much. Andrea, how can we continue to learn from you and stay in touch with you?
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram. I'm Andrea Olson Coaching. That's my coaching handle. Always A is my personal, and More of What Matters is the podcast. And you can find me any of those three places.
Awesome. Well, we'll be sure to link all of that in the show notes so that we can all continue to be inspired by you. Andrea, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been such a treat to talk with you and just to really dive into this desire that we all deep down have for meaning in our lives. And so thank you so much for sharing. And I really look forward to staying in touch.
Yes, it has been a complete joy. Thank you.
And there you have it. One of my favorite parts of this episode was hearing Andrea's take on using relationships as a driver and decision point for how she spends her time. I'd never heard that perspective before, and it makes so much sense. So often, our relationships, our friendships with others are what gets pushed to the back burner because we don't have time, because there's never enough time. But I feel so inspired to prioritize relationships after hearing from Andrea, and I hope you do too. You can find links to the productivity tools that Andrea mentioned, plus links to check out her podcast and Brand Builders Group, which is how we met, over in the show notes at abouttimepodcast.com/223. Before you go, let me tell you about next week's episode. In next week's episode, episode 224, I'm getting real. Very real. I don't know if this is going to come as a surprise, but even as a time management coach, sometimes I find myself in the throes of overwhelm. Anxious, overloaded, not sure how I'm going to get it all done, afraid I'm going to let people down. And that's even with years of experience, an actual book about time management on my resume, and more than 200 episodes of a podcast about time management. Even I'm not immune from getting overwhelmed. But all of my experience has helped me create a process to get out of it whenever I spot the signs of overwhelm creeping in. And that's exactly what I'm sharing with you in next week's episode. So it's an episode that you won't want to miss. Thanks again for tuning in, my friends. I look forward to talking with you soon.
Thanks for listening to It's About Time, a podcast about work, life, and balance. Head over to www.abouttimepodcast.com to join the conversation. Check out the show notes and dive into bonus content so you can start living your best life today. Love this episode? Be sure to share it with a friend, subscribe, and leave a review. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode.